Chapter 3. Drop 3. Drop the blame. Accept responsibility. The chains that keep you bound to the past are not the actions of another person. They are your own anger, stubbornness, lack of compassion, jealousy, and blaming others for your choices. It is not the other people that keep you trapped. It is the entitled role of victim that you enjoy wearing. There is a familiarity to pain that you enjoy because you get a payoff from it. When you figure out what that payoff is, then you will finally be on the road to freedom. Shannon L. Alder, Christian Relationship Writer. Drop 3 of the 5-drop relationship rescue remedy formula teaches us how to accept total responsibility and thus end the tiresome blame game forever. Who is responsible to make a relationship work? In our Success in the Grihastha Ashram workshops, we always ask, so, whose responsibility is it to make a relationship work? Is it the man? After all, he is supposed to be the guide or leader. Or perhaps it's the woman. Surely she should be the submissive one. And after all, isn't she supposed to be good at all this communication stuff? Or could it be 50-50? This option sounds by far the most fair and rational, and it usually wins the largest vote. We then suggest that the best relationships thrive when both the man and the woman take 100% responsibility to do whatever it takes to make it work. Now, like many of our participants, you might say that this sounds the same as 50-50, but it's not. There is no backdoor escape with this one. You can't say, I've done my 50%, now it's your fault. If there's still a problem, you must be to blame. No, accepting 100% responsibility means full commitment from both sides. Dropping the blame involves being willing to accept personal responsibility to do whatever it takes to get through to the other side of any conflict. It's easy and convenient just to point the finger and blame others, but it's not so easy to accept responsibility. We deeply fear that by accepting responsibility, we might lose out and end up as the scapegoat. We fear that accepting responsibility might be construed as an admission of our guilt, and that by accepting our part in the blame equation, automatically minimizes our spouse's contribution. Thankfully, it just doesn't work like this.
You are responsible. The following is an anonymous letter about the power of accepting responsibility. It says it so well that we have laminated it and displayed it prominently in our house as a potent reminder. Perhaps the most important personal choice you can make is to accept complete responsibility for everything you are and everything you will ever be. This is the great turning point in life. The acceptance of personal responsibility is what separates the superior person from the average person. Personal responsibility is the preeminent trait of leadership and the wellspring of high performance in every person, in every situation. The acceptance of complete responsibility for your life means that you refuse to make excuses or to blame others for anything in your life that you're not happy about. You refuse from this moment forward to criticize others for any reason. You refuse to complain about your situation or about what has happened in the past. You eliminate all your if-onlys and what-ifs and focus instead on what you really want and where you are going. From now on, no matter what happens, say to yourself, I am responsible. If you are not happy with any part of your life, say, I am responsible and get busy changing it. If something goes wrong, accept responsibility and begin looking for a solution. If you are not happy with your current income, accept responsibility and begin doing those things that are necessary for you to increase it. If you are not happy with the amount of time you are spending on your spiritual practices and with your family, accept responsibility for that as well and begin doing something about it.
When you accept responsibility, you feel personally powerful. The acceptance of responsibility gives you a tremendous sense of control over yourself and your life. The more responsibility you accept, the more confidence and energy you have. The more responsibility you accept, the more capable and competent you feel. The acceptance of responsibility is the foundation of high self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride, not false pride. The acceptance of personal responsibility lies at the core of the personality of every outstanding man or woman. On the other hand, when you make excuses, blame other people, complain or criticize, you give your power away. You weaken yourself and your resolve. You turn over control of your emotions to the people and situations you are blaming or complaining about. You do not escape responsibility by attempting to pass it off onto other people. You are still responsible. But you give up a sense of control over your life. You begin to feel like a victim and see yourself as a victim. You become passive and resigned rather than powerful and proactive. Instead of feeling on top of your world, you feel as if your world was on top of you. This way of thinking leads you up a blind alley from which there is no escape. It is a dead-end road on which you should refuse to travel.
Don't be a victim. Victimhood is often the last stage before outright aggression. Anonymous. The most destructive consequence from blaming is that it leaves you thinking, feeling, and acting like a victim. By blaming others, you give up your power. You then have no alternative than to assume and act like a victim. I was once attempting to counsel a devotee who was having lots of difficult conflict in her marriage. She was unable to shift her focus even a fraction from blaming her husband for everything that was going wrong in their relationship. I tried hard to get her to consider that she could possibly own a part in the equation. But she was so solidly entrenched in the blame game that she couldn't or wouldn't budge. Even if her husband was more at fault, her victim energy was totally draining for both of us. I sadly concluded that no amount of counseling would benefit her. We can use simple logic to look at it like this. If it's all the other person's fault, there is no chance of resolution. End of story. This is totally lose-lose. Unfortunately, my friend's stance didn't change, and her relationship predictably crumbled. She remains consumed with bitterness to this day. My realization? It's easy to blame others, but harder, much harder, to look at ourselves. From victim to victory. Years ago, another close friend of mine lost her husband. He left her and went off with her best friend. My friend was devastated, but she ultimately took shelter of Krishna. When I think back, there were so many she could have blamed. Her husband as first choice, the other woman, even ISKCON or Krishna for doing this to her. I saw her go through the different stages of grief and anger. I noticed how attentive her chanting became. In fact, she became renowned in our temple for her deep and meditative japa. I was particularly awed when she was able to forgive both her husband and her best friend. I asked her once how she could do this. She laughed and related that at some point in the grief process, she realized that blaming others simply increased her own suffering. She had tried it and had the good sense to understand that it was all-consuming and would eventually destroy her. She refused to be a victim and decided instead to take responsibility for her suffering and forgive everyone in the equation, including herself. My friend died just a few years later in a car accident. She blamed no one for anything, and her death was glorious, with hand in her bead bag and a heart free of malice or blame.
Moving beyond blame. Don't get drawn into the blame game, a game that no one can ever win. No one benefits when we dwell on and painfully dissect who is at fault, or even who is more at fault. Accepting our part in the blame equation is a vital and essential step forward. It gets us back on track and has a major role in repairing and rebuilding relationships. When you take the courageous step of recognizing and owning the part you play, you can then access the power to change the situation, resolve the issue, and move forward. Discover your own contribution. To avoid becoming a slave to the victim mentality, practice the following three important principles. 1. Realize that the only person you can change is yourself. We would dearly love to have a magic wand that fixed everyone. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like this. Usually, we drive ourselves and everyone else crazy trying to achieve this impossible task. One devotee related that when she finally gave up trying to fix everyone in her life and just tried to work on herself, which she soon discovered was enough on its own, amazing things began to happen. Think about it like this. While you are trying to fix and run everyone else's life, who's fixing and running yours?
2. Could it be your problem? Anytime someone is pointing a finger at you, ask yourself what kernel of accusation could actually be true. Be brutally honest with yourself because, Lord forbid, there may be a tiny grain of truth in the claim. I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but it is liberating and empowering to own your own stuff. Sometimes the faults or shortcomings we see in others are the very ones we should be working on ourselves. Again, there must be a law about this somewhere, and if there isn't, there should be. Srila Prabhupada never entertained our complaining tendency. When devotees would write to him complaining about their god brothers or god sisters, more often than not, Srila Prabhupada would throw the responsibility right back onto the complainer. Quote, "If there is some incident and I claim that no one is cooperating with me or no one will work with me, that is my defect, not theirs. The Vaishnava devotee must think like this. We should not find fault with others and criticize and go away. That is not the Vaishnava way. Better, we should always be willing to offer all respect to others and consider them as our superiors always." Letter to Gaurasundara, August 26, 1972. 3. Ask and you shall receive. This one is simple but profound. If you don't know what you're contributing, simply ask the other person what you are doing, saying, or failing to do or say. Consider that it might even be the way you are doing or saying it that could be impacting the other person in a negative way. Personally, I suffered with a very explosive father in my childhood and subsequently hate and want to immediately escape from raised angry voices. To me, it means stress of the worst kind. When I communicated these feelings to my husband, he was able to understand my sensitivity and has always made an effort to keep his voice calm and his tone even and low. A word of caution. When you ask, be prepared and open to really hear without getting defensive. Ask in a genuine way that doesn't trigger a defensive reaction. Your mood will be very important here, as you will be communicating not only with words, but through your energy, voice tone, and body language. Once you realize your contribution, you can then reflect how this is affecting the other person and work through the rest of the drops to resolve your issue.
Recognize the real problem. There cannot be love without trust, and there cannot be trust unless we take the responsibility to act in a way that people can trust us. Radhanath Swami. Once you accept full responsibility for the issue, you will experience a most defining moment. You will realize that you and your spouse are both on the same side. Bingo! You are then left with the issue as the real problem and not each other. This is a great relief and a key juncture in conflict resolution. You are now willing and able to completely exit the insidious attack-defend cycle which has kept you stuck for so long. From this new vantage point, problems start to melt away and trust can be rebuilt. Love and trust. Relationships built on a strong foundation of trust can weather any storm. Years of constant bickering can erode this trust, breeding doubt and suspicion. Sometimes we even imagine that our partner is out to get us. When you think about the underlying mentality that evokes such a feeling, it reveals a very negative and critical tendency. It shows that you are thinking the worst about the other person as well as yourself. Think about it like this. By doubting their good intentions, you're being doubly unkind. Unkind to them as well as to yourself. Stay with me here. How you are thinking they are thinking says volumes about how you think of yourself. For example, if you imagine that your spouse thinks you are incapable in some area, then what you are unconsciously suggesting is that you actually see yourself in this way. This is when we need to remind ourselves to be kind, both to ourselves and to others. And don't worry if your trust account is low or even overdrawn. We will show you how to regenerate, protect, and nourish that trust in Drop 5, Pouring on the Energy.
The mind, friend or enemy. For him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. Bhagavad Gita 6.6. Another important point to remember in avoiding the blame game is that we sometimes give meanings to events that are not always factual. I used to think the Bhagavad Gita verse 2.14, Matra Spartius, was more about tolerating bad weather or more physical types of tribulations. I now realize that the part arising from sense perception can also refer to how the mind filters our experiences. This filtering process gives rise to our consequent feelings of happiness or distress. This is why a particular event that gives distress to one may not cause it to another. This perception can be experienced either on the physical or mental plane, but it's intrinsically the mind's perception that causes our pleasure and pain. Mean meaning machines. Day-to-day communication can hold a myriad of different meanings for us. Our partner may say something offhand, and we immediately attach huge meaning to it. We have all been in this place on one end of the communication spectrum or the other. You say something, hoping for some understanding, but the other person in your life just doesn't get it. In fact, not only do they not get it, but they misinterpret your words and intentions and instead react to how you have made them feel. I remember reading a great example of this from the Christian-based relationship book Fascinating Womanhood by Helen Anderlin. A husband was fishing for a little appreciation from his wife about his earning ability. He casually commented about how hard it was to provide adequately for a family in these trying times. The wife mistook her husband's purpose and thought he was indirectly criticizing her spending habits. "Well, I hardly spend anything. It's been years since I had a new dress." You can imagine how this comment went over to our heroic husband, who was already sensitive about his earning capability and was hoping for a little acknowledgement. Yes, lead balloon comes to mind. And so it went on, with each trying desperately to justify their position and feel validated and understood. The husband in this scenario felt diminished and defeated, while his wife felt criticized and humiliated, and all by the filter of their fallible perception.
The power of perception. In the material world, conceptions of good and bad are all mental speculations. Therefore, saying this is good and this is bad is all a mistake. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Anchalila 4.176. Perception is a vital component in nurturing the strength and stability of our relationships. For example, many couples discover after a year or two of marriage that they are radically different from their spouses. However, we could choose to see these differences in qualities and nature as either conflicting or complementary. Complementary is a much healthier, kinder, and a more empowering perception. It means that we are certainly different, but that we complement each other. Imagine if you were too similar in nature to your spouse. Two types of me, two types of him? That could get intense. Perception can help us see beyond the duality of circumstances in our life. A favorite well-known Chinese fable that illustrates the fragility of perception is one I think of whenever things don't seem to be going the way I think they should. Good luck, bad luck. There was an old farmer who had a beautiful horse. This horse was not only his family's pride and joy, but it also was a means of income for the family. One day, the horse ran away. Fellow villagers visited the old man to give their condolences for such a stroke of bad luck, as the loss of his horse represented a staggering financial blow that would be hard to recover from. "Good luck, bad luck, who can tell?" replied the old man. "It is as it is. My horse is gone." Perplexed at the man's nonchalance towards the apparent tragedy, the villagers went about their business. A few days later, the horse returned with a pack of 12 wild horses in tow. Again, the villagers gathered, this time to offer their congratulations at such a stroke of good luck. Now he had 12 more horses with which to make 12 times the income. "What a godsend," they said. "Good luck, bad luck, who can tell?" replied the old man again. "All I see is that 12 more horses have appeared." The next week, while breaking in one of the wild horses, the old man's son fell and both his legs were broken. "What bad luck," the villagers exclaimed. "Your son has broken both of his legs. That's terrible. How will you get your work done? You are too old to do it yourself." "Good luck, bad luck, who can tell?" was the now predictable answer of the old man. "My son has broken his legs, that is all I know." Shortly thereafter, the government forcibly removed all the able-bodied men from the village as the country had gone to war. The old man's son, however, was spared, since his legs were broken. Good luck, bad luck, who can tell? And so the fable can go on perpetually. In our lives, we often career from one good luck occurrence to another bad luck event, blaming everything and everyone along the way. Accepting complete responsibility for everything in our life empowers us to move beyond the blame game and our often faulty and unreliable power of perception.
Accepting responsibility. In summary, accepting responsibility means being prepared to do whatever it takes to get your relationship back on track. Accepting responsibility weaves inherently throughout all five drops of this formula. I'm sure you can see that it's not possible to pause, drop one, unless you accept responsibility for doing so. Reflecting, drop two, also requires a good dose of responsibility. You accept responsibility when you are willing to acknowledge how it occurs for others. And as you will soon discover, the last two drops of the rescue remedy also include their fair share of the responsibility factor. Our next drop, drop four, drop the pain, teaches you how to return your relationship back to that loving place, the place we all hanker for. And don't worry if things are so tough that you have forgotten what that loving place even looks like and haven't got a clue how to get back there. Drop 4 will show you just how easy it is to move beyond the pain of conflict.
Key points from Chapter 3, Drop the Blame, Accept Responsibility. Take 100% responsibility for everything in your life. When you do this, you automatically give up the victim mentality and take back your power. Remember, if it's all the other person's fault, there is very little chance of resolution. So take responsibility to work through to the other side of your conflicts by using the 5-drop formula. Discover your own contribution to the problem. This takes courage and humility. Remember, the only person you can truly change is yourself. Look for the kernel of truth that you need to take responsibility for and ask your spouse for more information without getting defensive. The mind, don't be fooled by the meaning machine. We give meaning to every event in our life and often our meaning is distorted. Many of our misunderstandings are exactly that. We fail to really understand. That's where reflection comes in. Be responsible and take the time to find out what's really going on. Responsibility, it weaves through all 5 drops. It's everywhere. If you have made it this far in the 5-drop process, you have already shown commitment as well as a deep sense of responsibility. You're refusing to act out the victim role or come across as a 10-year-old having a temper tantrum. You have come a long way.